Now, the epistle appointed to be read for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God, and if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 16. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, because my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I will do, that when I shall be removed from the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Therefore, calling together every one of his Lord's debtors, he said to the first, How much dost thou owe my Lord? But he said, 100 barrels of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, And how much dost thou owe? Who said, 100 quarters of wheat. He said to him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I say to you, make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fall, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. But the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. Words taken from today's gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, it was on October the 31st in the year 1942, at the height of the Second World War, Pope Pius XII consecrated the Church and the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. According to Father John DeMarchi, who was a priest living at Fatima, who wrote the story of the apparitions of Our Lady at Fatima and the events that followed, and whose work received the personal approbation of Lucia de Santos, the Pope at that time, he wrote, consecrated the Church and the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, including the people of Russia, by these words, Give peace to the peoples separated from us by error or schism, and especially to the ones who profess such singular devotion to thee, and in whose homes an honored place was ever accorded thy venerable icon. Bring them back to the one fold of Christ under the one true shepherd. Now, the following spring of 1943, Father DeMarchi says, our blessed Lord appeared to Lucia to express the joy of his heart over this consecration done by Pius XII. Lucia tells us about it, he writes in her letter to the Bishop of Gerza, her spiritual director. Your Excellency, she wrote, the good Lord has already shown me his pleasure in the act of the Holy Father and the various bishops. Although it is incomplete according to his desire, in exchange, he promises to bring the war to an end soon. However, the conversion of Russia will not yet take place. Now, it was after these words that Lucia then revealed the bitterness and sorrow of the Sacred Heart of Jesus on account of the indifference and the sins of people, and especially of Catholic people. She also revealed the penance demanded by our Lord from everyone. And it is this penance, my dear friends, that concerns us most this morning. Our Lord said to me, wrote Lucia, the sacrifice required of every person is the fulfillment of the duties of their state in life and the observance of my commandments. This is the penance that I now seek. This is the penance that I now require. Lucia then went on to say, this is thus the penance which the good Lord now asks. The sacrifice that every person has to impose upon himself is to lead a life of grace in the observance of his commandments. He requires, she wrote, that this be made known to souls. For many thinking that the word penance means great austerities, and not feeling in themselves the strength or generosity for these, lose heart and remain in a life of lukewarmness and sin. Our Lord then, my dear people, is not asking us to perform the great and austere penances that Catholic people did for centuries, especially among the great monastic orders of monks and nuns. He is not then asking that we weekly or even daily, for example, wear a hair shirt underneath our clothing. Nor is he asking that we should give ourselves to excessive fasting throughout the whole year. He is asking and even requiring that the sacrifice we must offer him and the daily penance that we must do for our sins and the sins of the world is the generous fulfillment of the duties of our state in life and the keeping of his holy commandments. That's the penance. That's the penance and the sacrifice our Lord is now asking of each and every one of us. You know, this revelation given to Lucia by our Lord in 1943 is really not something new for us to do. It is something that is not new for us to do in order to save our souls. For the generous fulfillment of the duties of our state in life and the keeping of the commandments are a restatement of what was already revealed in the Gospels. If any man will come after me, our divine Savior once said, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. The daily cross, that is, the daily sufferings of whatever kind we must patiently bear, such as sickness and pain, inconvenience and hardship, insult and offense, or many difficulties we must often endure, and the sacrifices we must make in fulfilling the duties of our state in life, such are the daily cross that we must all take up, as well as the keeping of God's holy commandments, especially his commandments of loving him more than anyone or anything, his commandments of having charity towards others, forgiving others from our hearts, his commandments of purity in thought, word, and deed. You know, my dear friends, such things we were obliged to do anyway if we would save our souls. But in this age when the hearts of men have indeed grown cold, in his infinite mercy, our Lord now accepts these things as well when they are done generously for him. He accepts them now as a penance for our sins and as a penance for the sins of others. Why does he not demand harsh and austere penances from us today? Why does he not demand harsh penances for our own sins and for the billions of sins that are committed around the world each day, by which sins he is so hurt and so insulted? Among many reasons, Father John DeMarchi says, the duties of our state in life are oftentimes hard and burdensome. And they thus, he says, become works of penance and sacrifice. And therefore, our divine Savior, in his infinite wisdom and compassion for our weakness, so that as many souls as possible could be saved, he declared to Lucia and to all men, the sacrifice required of every person is the fulfillment of his duties in life and the observance of my law. The questions then, my dear people, that we all must ask ourselves are, do we generously and uncomplainingly strive to fulfill the duties of our state in life? And do we do what we can to keep God's holy commandments? That is, do we pray in time of temptation of whatever kind? And do we avoid all free occasions of sin? By free occasions of sin, I'm talking about those things that we have a certain control over, such as a smartphone, an iPhone, an iPad, or a television. Do we avoid, for example, such things as impure and immodest music, movies, internet, or television? Or contrary to God's holy laws of purity and modesty, do we allow such things to spew their filth into our homes and our lives? And are we generous and patient in making sacrifices and fulfilling the duties of our state in life? Or are we impatient and complaining and even murmuring against God? In today's gospel, our Lord tells the familiar parable of the unjust steward. And in this parable, he talks about two kinds of people whom he calls children. They are the children of the world and the children of light. The children of light are those who have the faith and who thus know the purpose of life. And the purpose of life, my dear friends, is to know God, to love Him, and to serve Him in this world, so that one day we will be happy with Him forever in heaven. The children of light then know why they are here and where they are going. The children of the world, on the other hand, are the vast majority of people who are not concerned about the true purpose of life, but are rather more concerned for the pleasures of the world, material possessions, and worldly honors. They take care of themselves and are very occupied with the things of the world, and in many cases they are preoccupied with sin. This type of people are called, as I said, the children of the world. And being children of the world, their hearts belong to it, and to the quest for worldly things and even sinful amusements. But from this perspective, the unjust steward, who was a child of the world, is commended. Whereas the children of light, that is, those who have the faith, are actually given a warning. And the Lord, the gospel reads, commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their own generation than the children of light. Now, at first, this certainly seems to be a strange response from the master of the house, and yet it really is not. But the point, my dear friends, of the parable is this. When it comes to the things of the world, people look out for themselves and do their utmost to obtain them. And in this, there is a kind of worldly wisdom. When it comes to material possessions and temporal pleasures, when it comes even to sin, people of the world are very concerned. But why, we may ask in the parable, are the children of light warned? They are warned because they are not willing to do for their eternal salvation what the children of the world are willing to do to possess temporal and even sinful things. And thus the children of light run the grave risk of losing their souls in hell for all eternity. The followers of Christ do not have, as one author put it, the wisdom, so to speak, in securing their eternal salvation that worldly people have in securing their temporal and even sinful desires. And thus the children of this world, as our divine Savior declared in today's gospel, are truly wiser in their own generation than the children of light. They are wiser than the children of light because they know what they want and they work hard to obtain it. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, commenting on this passage in the Gospel, actually wrote, "The children of the world are the martyrs of the devil who put to shame the saints of God, the children of light." For the children of the world, this great saint wrote, run more eagerly to death than the children of light run to life. And by these words, this great saint goes on to explain that they pursue worldly things and earthly pleasures that lead to hell with greater dedication than people who have the faith pursue heaven. When the Lady of Fatima opened up the earth on July 13, 1917, and showed hell and its torments to Lucia and Jacinta and Francisco, Lucia said of it, among other things, that they saw souls falling into the fires of hell like snowflakes falling to the earth in a storm. For so many souls, she said, were being lost. And you know, my dear friends, it was after this July apparition, more than the previous two, that the children were very much changed. After they had seen hell and just how many souls were going there, and how sorrowful the lady was, they were never the same. They were firmly resolved to save their souls and to save as many other souls as they could. Only by the grace and mercy of Almighty God, my dear friends, are we the children of light. And in this age of universal apostasy, when so many Catholic people have truly lost their faith and morals and are thus in grave danger of eternal damnation, not to mention the tens of millions of so-called Christians who profess to believe in Christ, but when all is said and done, they accept Christ on their own terms and reject for the most part his laws in regard to purity and marriage. When we consider these and other things, we truly have been given a gift of inestimable value, the gift of our faith. For we know with the utmost certainty of faith where we must go and what we must do to get there. But do we appreciate it as we should? Are we firmly resolved to do what we must do to get to heaven? Do we work for heaven and its everlasting joys far more than the vast billions of people work for this world? Are we generous in fulfilling the duties of our state in life for the love of Jesus Christ? Are we firm in removing from our lives and our homes the sinful things of the world and doing our part to keep God's commandments? If we have not been so generous in fulfilling the duties of our state in life, and if we have not been so faithful in striving to keep God's commandments, especially of charity and purity, let us henceforth be so now, for our own eternal salvation and the salvation of others. For as you live, St. Paul once wrote, so shall you die. Let us, my dear friends, offer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus our daily sacrifice of doing the duties of our state in life, our daily penance of keeping the commandments. Even as we ever strive to love him in the Holy Eucharist, fervently receiving him in Holy Communion, and devoutly praying the Rosary every day, honoring the Immaculate Heart of Mary, who it truly is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. For never forget, my dear friends, if we have her in our life, we have him. And if we have him, we have everything we could ever hope for or desire. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.